Well, you might have seen the dog running around up here right before Mass. And before that, she was up there with Richard in the choir loft, and I snapped a great photo. It was rather humorous. I thought, oh, we have a new choir member, and not sure this one will sound too great. But anyway, she didn't know how the songs went, so she came down out of the choir loft and joined us from down here. It's funny, this gospel today, I feel like I've spent so much time with it. In the course of my seminary years, it was beat into us for a lot of different reasons. And so the other day it was the Mass reading, the gospel, and Father Adam had the Mass. I said, Father Adam, I'm so glad you have the Mass. I don't want to go back to that road to Emmaus. And he said, what are you talking about? That's my favorite gospel. And so anyway, I love it too, but there's just so many things you could say about the road to Emmaus. So here's what came to me in prayer this morning, early, as in before I went to bed at like 3. What came to me was this. We have a God who always shows up. I think maybe most of us, all of us, probably know a little bit of the sorrow, so to speak, that comes when a human being that we're counting on or hoping for doesn't show up. Whether it's your little kid at his little league game and dad's stuck at the office and the little boy looks for his dad and doesn't see him. Or maybe it's the high school girl, the love of her life, who doesn't show up and she gets stood up. Maybe it's maybe you're in the, it's a sick person in the hospital, and it's just impossible for maybe geographical reasons, who knows what, for a son or a daughter to be there. We know the pain, I think, sometimes of when there's somebody we're hoping for or counting on who doesn't show. But friends, we got good news today. And that is that Jesus always shows up. In our gospel readings ever since Easter, it seems like even during the daily gospel readings, the story after story after story of Jesus showing up. And not always did people see him. Did they recognize him? You remember Mary Magdalene. She thinks that Jesus is the gardener. You know, and Jesus always shows up. Our God always shows up. And it doesn't matter a whole bunch of different things. It doesn't matter what road we're on. You know, you think, for example, all of our readings talk about roads except for our first reading. The psalm talks about the path of life. That was our response. Our second reading kind of references the sojourning, the journey that we're on. The gospel talks about Jesus. Of course, it's the road to Emmaus. There's lots of roads in our lives. There's 4.5 million miles of paved road in the United States. Did you know that? Think about all the songs written about roads. God Bless the Broken Road by the Rascal Flatts, and the Wizard of Oz has that, the Yellow Brick Road. And think about all of the, how many, how's that one go, Gay? Does a man walk down before? There's roads all over in our lives, right? And like, there's also roads written about in poetry, left and right. Emily Dickinson wrote a beautiful poem about roads. And then yesterday night or early this morning, I was thinking about that poem, The Road Not Taken, by Robert Frost. And I would love to talk all about that poem. There's so many things about roads, and it doesn't matter what road we're on. Jesus shows up. God shows up. And when the thing forks in two and we think, gee, if I go down this path, God won't be there. What if he's not there? He will be there. And if you pick the other path, he'll be there too. You know, God is on every single road, and it doesn't even matter if we're going the wrong direction. These disciples were going in the wrong direction. Emmaus was the total opposite direction. They turned their back the day of the resurrection. The day of the resurrection, these two disciples turned their back on the Jerusalem, which is an image of the church. It's an image of heaven. They don't know yet that Jesus has risen, and they're just super down. Jesus had died 3 days earlier, and now they're going, dude, I guess it's over. I guess it's over. And they put their back to the Holy of Holies, the holiest place of... And Jesus comes there, even as they're on the wrong road and going in the wrong direction. God shows up. It doesn't matter necessarily even who we're with on the road either, because God shows up no matter what. It's a funny thing, you know, this gospel today, we don't know who these two were. We do know one was named Cleopas. Some people think that the other one was his wife. That makes you think about the reading in a little different way, doesn't it? It's a married couple, perhaps, walking next to each other, kind of talking about what has just gone on, and they're down, they're kind of sad together, and they're going, and the Lord comes. Some people think that maybe it was Cleopas' son, that Cleopas was the blood brother of Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, and that it was his son, Simon. That's okay too, father and son. And Jesus comes into that. Both of these are family situations. And very likely, it was one of those two who was this other one with Cleopas. But Jesus comes, and maybe we're all a little quarantined right now with our families. Guess what? God is coming up. He's showing up in your house in this quarantine. God shows up. No matter what road we're on, what direction we're going on, how bumpy the road is, how curvy, how high, how low, and he comes no matter who is next to us, he comes into that. He shows up. And it doesn't matter either how foolish we are. Did you catch that? Jesus tells these two people they're foolish because they're slow of heart. They're not believing. And they don't even recognize him. And maybe we all have moments of foolishness. I have lots of them every day. And don't we all? But guess what? In the midst of your foolishness, God shows up. And our sinfulness, our first reading talks about that. Pope Peter, the first pope, talks in that first reading with that group of people, and he goes, it's our sins that put Jesus on that cross. And in the midst of that, God shows up. He cannot be bound. Did you catch what Billy read? He cannot be bound by anything. God is stronger than all of it. He can't be bound by death, by the power of the resurrection. And God shows up. In the second reading, it was from a letter from the first pope, Pope Peter. And he talks in there about the futile way of life. And God shows up in that and transforms it. But God shows up in our goodness too, in our virtues. In our pursuit of God, the pursuit of holiness is holiness, says a good priest mentor of mine. The journey towards holiness is holiness. We think about that destination up there, but even in the journey is half the fun, and it's also the holiness is proven in the midst of the journey to heaven, such that, as Catherine of Siena says, all the way to heaven is heaven for one who loves Jesus. And God shows up in the midst of all of it. Did you notice that in the gospel, they're downcast, they're broken, they're sad, and God shows up in the midst of it. Maybe you have a moment like that or two every now and again, the brokenness of being downcast. But guess what? Jesus shows up. He will show up no matter what. He shows up in a very special way, of course, at Holy Mass. And the road to Emmaus, I'd be remiss if I did not remind us all that this is an outline of the Holy Mass. What do you have here? You have the community of people, and God comes into that. The opening rite, the greeting rites at Mass, when the priest comes in and we sing our song, and the Lord be with you with your spirit, all that happens when Jesus comes and greets them. Then they have the opening of the Word, the liturgy of the Word. That's exactly what happens. Jesus opens to them the Scriptures, and he talks about all the Old Testament, how that's really referring to him. The liturgy of the Word. Then we have the petitions. They say, stay with us, Lord. They have petitions. And then we have the liturgy of the Eucharist, where Jesus is made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And then we have them sent forth on a mission. They're sent out on a mission. And not only that, now that they've been fed, they're going on a mission. But not only that, then they two of these folks recount what had taken place. It's just like when you go to Mass and you go home and you talk about how funny Father Mike's joke was of the, you know, you talk about the homily, hopefully you talk about the Mass and you digest it with your family. And I remember doing that as I was a kid. We would go home and we would always go to the 8 o'clock Mass. And then we would go home and have some donuts or something, and we'd talk about Father Charlie's homily or Father Don's homily, and it was this same type of thing. Jesus always shows up. Isn't that amazing news? He always shows up in all of these ways and in a very special way in the Mass. But how does he show up? Two ways: spiritually and physically. Our first reading, Pope Peter is talking to the people, and he's talking to them about the outpouring of the Spirit and how beautiful a thing that is when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we have these Holy Spirit moments. Have you ever heard a song that touched the marrow of your bones? Or a poem that made you look at life differently? Or have you ever had a conversation with somebody where on the other end of it you think, wow, I just experienced God? Or you look at the sky, you hear a piece of music. I'm looking up at Richard Gray. And, you know, like, we have these spiritual moments. And that's what Pope Peter is referencing. It's like, there's this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you guys. And that's what happens with the road to Emmaus, the burning in the heart, this spiritual moment. And like, that's awesome. And we do get these Holy Spirit moments. But it doesn't stop there, because that isn't enough for God. He doesn't want to just show up spiritually in a pie in the sky kind of way, in an invisible way. He shows up physically. He shows up to those two disciples, whether they were a married couple, whether it was father and son, whether it was two friends, who knows. But he shows up to them. Spiritually, in other words, he pays full attention to them. But physically, he walks right next to him. Thank God there wasn't social distancing then. Because Jesus walks up and the three of these folks are, and they come into this communion with God, a flesh and blood encounter with the risen Christ. Which is a pretty powerful thing. And you know, it's much like that with us, isn't it? Sometimes you might find somebody who's very much in love, and yet there's a physical distance. And they do the best they can, you know, with FaceTime and so on. But that isn't enough. It's not even just enough to see the person. You want to be with him or her. You want to actually physically be present. And I think about that with couples in love, with friends, with family of all kinds. It's not enough just to talk on the phone or look at somebody on a screen. You want to be with them. And nothing is like it. That's how it is with God. That's why he became incarnate, one of us, so that he could show up physically. And spiritually, so that he could be physically with us, one of us, that he could be touched, tasted, embraced, held by us, and vice versa. I think about that with the Mass. This live stream business, it ain't the same, is it? It's nice that we do it. I'm glad we do it, because as long as we can't have people in church, it's the next best thing, I suppose. But it's nothing compared to the actual Mass, to actually being here together in the same place as a family in Christ, and to physically be with Jesus. And Jesus, that's the thing about him, right? That it's Jesus isn't just enough for him to hold our hands, to show up and put his arm around us or anything like that. He goes, no, I want to go deeper than that. I will become bread and wine. I will be so that you and I can be one, so that you can receive me spiritually and physically, that we too can be one. And folks, that's the beauty of our Christ. That's how he wants to show up in our lives. And pray God that this whole COVID thing is over real soon so that we can actually be as we're supposed to be at church, at living church, because this is a far cry from that. But hopefully our hearts are getting more and more hungry for the living God. Hopefully they're getting more and more appreciative for what we actually have when we have Mass. And like, I guess the last thing I would say is, that's how God shows up to us. Physically, spiritually, dependable, always there, always helping, always loving, always serving. He shows up no matter what. And friends, what Jesus does, we have to do. There's people we need to show up for. And that maybe sometimes it's not easy to show up to them, but we show up for them and we're there. And you know, and I think about that with God too. They say that when it comes to prayer, the hardest part is just showing up, but that's also the most grace-filled part. And that's true for human relationships as well, and of course our relationship with the Lord. So let us look to the Lord and let us thank God for how he always comes into our life. He always shows up. Sometimes he's kind of sneaky about it, but he always shows up. And let's ask the Lord to help us to recognize him there, to love him there, to serve him there, to know him there. And then let's also pray that we can always show up to others and to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.